is Ryan Stegman, artist of Superior Spider-Man, and you are listening to the Comic Anvil.
Welcome to the Comic Anvil. Today we have Kyle.
Yeah, buddy.
McPherson.
Yeah, buddy.
Who can't hear me? Yay, there we go. A little bit of lag. Also today we have a new guy-ish. Well, Leonard has... Lenny? So you shouldn't call you Leonard. Lenny, our new guy. We tried to do a Walking Dead episode a couple weeks ago, and I was really drunk, and I'm too embarrassed to listen to it, so we figured we'd have him on the regular show. Say hello, Lenny.
What's up, guys?
All right.
And we got rid of Josh.
Not much. No Josh today.
He's dead.
Josh. Josh must have got some good pussy for a change. and maybe so did Anthony, because, I mean, he's nowhere to be found either, so that's fine. I'm cool with that. Good for you guys. Sow your seeds, children. Sow your seeds. So this has been a heck of a week for video games anyways. The new Batman came out, Arkham Origins.
Yeah.
And I know you guys have both been playing the console, right?
Yep. Yeah.
And what are our thoughts? You beat it already?
Yeah. It's...
Holy shit.
No, it's surprisingly short. You know, because when I got to the end, I was like, wait, I've not played that much of this. How is it... It's finished already. Even,
Really?
Arkham City, which obviously isn't as is an open world, basically. But that way... Either I was playing it more, as in... wanting to do all the side missions or whatever, but that, I'm sure that game is a lot longer than Origins, especially considering this is another open world game essentially.
Well, you heard about Grand Theft Auto 5. I think the fastest recorded, well, the fastest time I've seen anybody beat that game was in 26 hours, and I thought that's too damn short. You know, if it's supposed to have such a giant map that's five times or it's bigger than all the maps they've had before combined.
Yeah.
Why would it only take 25, 26 hours to beat this game?
Well, that's different, though, because if they're doing it in that time, I probably did it in about the same time, to be honest. But the difference is that you have the option of doing the story missions. If you don't do the story missions and just drive around for whatever, do your side missions at the same time, then it's going to take you longer. So it's depending on your play style, the length will switch up.
So basically the same thing with the Batman game. You know, if you don't... Is there lots of side missions? I mean, there must be upgrades and shit going on in there. Because let me tell you, I've been playing the iOS version, the iOS, whatever you want to call it. It was free, so I was like, I'll check it out. And it plays a lot like the Injustice iOS game. It has cross unlocks, so like if you unlock stuff in the console version, it'll unlock stuff on the mobile version and vice versa, as long as you have a WBID account. And I've been eating this up, man. It's kind of fun. I mean, it's basically just Batman fighting thugs. You got a lot more moves than you do in Injustice. You get to upgrade everything from your bat suits to your drop kicks to your punches. That's basically what I've been doing all weekend, is playing this fucking game, trying to get the ultimate bat suit that costs about $1 million. But it's coming along. I'll get there.
Nice. Kyle, did you do this side stuff?
No.
Or are you focusing mainly?
This one... With Arkham City, I was having so much fun, I did everything, but there was never a drive for me to, while playing it, to want to do the side missions, even though it, you know, the ones that give you, it give you, so you can fast travel. And as much as I hated having to cross that bridge over and over again, it's a literal bridge, I just couldn't be bothered doing the side missions. Oh God! Let's get that out of the way. The glitches I had. Whether it's obviously it's not a Rocksteady game, right? They're the ones that did Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. But that's still not an, even if they didn't do it, that's still not an excuse for me to be running to more glitches and slowdown, especially when you're using the gliding. And mm-hmm. experienced it a couple of times when it was just throwing enemies at you. The slowdown. Mm-hmm. It's just the game doesn't run mm-hmm. as smoothly as the previous two, which is disappointing.
It's disappointing, yeah. What system are you playing on?
PlayStation.
Yeah, I figured as much. There was another guy on my Twitter feed who was having lag problems too.
Yeah, and I wonder if, like I said, I've put in maybe 10 hours, and I think I might be like 12% or 15% done, but I've done side missions, and I haven't experienced the glitches you guys talk about, so it might be a PlayStation thing.
Are you on Xbox, Lenny?
Yeah, I'm playing on a 360.
Okay. Weird. Yeah, whatever. I have both myself.
Yeah, like I said, I've seen people tweeting about it, and it seems like it's PlayStation related, so maybe they'll just patch it. I don't know, but I'm really enjoying the game. Like I've done a bunch of side missions. I stop and do the crime, you know, when you can hear the cop radio saying, you know, there's a disturbance or whatever. I go and fly over there and fight all the guys. Like, I'm having a great time with it.
Don't get me wrong.
Slow and steady, huh?
Don't get me wrong, it's still a good game. It's still taking the best part of Arkham City and Arkham Origins. Arkham Asylum is the combat. It is fun to play. You feel like Batman when you're using it. My only problem I'm having with it, or had with it, is that even though it's a side game, whatever, even though it's not by Rocksteady, that's still not really an excuse for it to not have like new mechanics into it. And I'm not talking about revolutionary things or whatever, but if you look at things like Assassin's Creed, which I'm so done with that franchise at this point, but Assassin's Creed Brotherhood had Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
But both of those side games had different aspects, new gameplay mechanics that they were at least trialed out in these games, and then it was put into Assassin's Creed 3. Hopefully, if Rocksteady are making a new Batman game, some things that they've put in will be incorporated, but the ones that are in it at this stage weren't good enough, or I don't know.
No, I kind of agree with you. It's kind of surprising how much they take directly from the other two games.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like Rocksteady made the game and just gave it to them and said, hey, can you guys finish this for us?
Yeah,
because like you're saying, there are very, very little changes. It's almost like you're playing a carbon copy of the other games, which is great because those games are awesome. But you would think with the new studio, they would try and put their own mark on it and make things a little bit different. And I mean, I guess maybe in a way they have with the investigation things, but it's really small. It seems like you're playing the other studio's game.
Yeah,
interesting. I've heard people complain that it's just more of the same. Which makes no sense. I mean, if the same is really good, why are we complaining?
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
I understand what you're saying. You could say something like that for Bioshock 2. Some other company kind of took over on that one, and the main guys who made Bioshock weren't doing it anymore.
Right,
And then they tried to put multiplayer in it. Okay, that was different. I'll say that much, but it was probably one of the worst multiplayers I've ever played in my life, which was nice when Infinite came out. There was no more multiplayer. You know, they made another Bioshock game, which in my mind makes Infinite Part 2, really, because they don't even really talk about anything that happened in Bioshock 2. Mind you, they barely talk about things that happened in Bioshock 1.
Because it's not canon. It's not considered canon, as in it's a different world to Bioshock Infinite, even though they'll make like subtle references that some things might have happened, but it's supposed to essentially be two different worlds, two different continuities.
If you play the whole game, if you get to the end, you'll see how they tie together. It's at the ending. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
Anyways, okay, so Batman Arkham Origins.
I just want to say one last thing about Arkham Origins. That you play Arkham Asylum. Right, again, different writers. It's not Bruce Timm. Is that who wrote the other two? The Paul Dini, sorry.
What?
Paul Dini.
Oh, you cut right out, stud.
Paul Dini. I don't even know.
He said something about writers and then disappeared.
Whoever wrote the previous two games, right?
Okay.
You, instead of this one being like, oh, cool, so that's why they were like this in the previous game, in the later games, It's more, here's a character that we'd use in the later game. Let's just swap him around, and it's exactly the same thing that you see later on.
Oh, okay.
The cop, you already know Bane's one of the assassins that's after Batman. That they've already revealed that part. But it's pretty much the same type of fight that you have with him, you've already had against him in Asylum and City. So it's just things like that which kind of bug me. Apart from that, it's a good game, it's just the worst of the three. Which, again, is not is the worst of three awesome games, two previous awesome games. It's not really that big.
Yeah.
How's the fighting system? Because I know in the first one, it was doable for me. And then in the second one, holy crap, is it ever hard? I have a hard time with it. I don't know why.
It's the same as the second one. Like, because they added guys with knives, so you have to hold down
right.
The one button to dodge it, like, after, like, three or four swipes, and then you can attack. So it's more like the second one.
Yeah, difference is, though, that anyone can pick up a knife, anyone can pick up a shield. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm talking to Anthony.
Okay.
Tell him we said hi.
He said, I thought you said five. Yeah, but then there was a time change. I don't know what to tell him, man.
Just tell him to hurry up.
Yeah, well, it's his choice, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know if I'll get the game or not. I mean, like you said, with Assassin's Creed, it's the same shit. That fucking game just keeps getting harder and harder every goddamn iteration that comes out, and I'm not too keen on continuing it. Mind you. I mean, I got this mobile version. I would like to do all the unlocking and stuff. I'll probably play it one day. I just let go of my hatred for Batman. I was like, oh, we'll embrace the Bat. And holy fuck, this is kind of cool.
No, these games do a really good job of giving the characters you see on a page like real life. That's what I like about it. Like when I'm Batman beating people up, I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking Batman.
You are Batman. You're not fucking Batman.
Yeah, no.
Because that's fan fiction, I think.
I mean, I would brag about it if I would.
That sounds like Ryan Stegman fan fiction. Lenny was fucking Batman. To be continued. All right, let's talk about some comics. Anthony might join us. I doubt it. We'll see.
Okay,
I gotta break my comics out.
Yep, I got stacks in here.
Okay, well, why don't you go if you're ready to? You got your
stack. Oh man, pick I don't a book, know, man. You want me to drop some bombs this early? I don't know.
I'm easy. Go ahead.
All right, so how about a book we all sort of tweeted about? Velvet.
Okay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the shit out of that.
Yeah, I did too. I'm not a giant like espionage or crime type guy, but I enjoyed it.
God, it feels like Captain America, but better. I found the art is phenomenal.
Yeah, I've not read Brubaker a lot of Brubaker before, but
no.
I enjoyed his last the Winter Soldier series when he was before he left. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it a lot, especially the conclusion to his story. But I've realised that I like these type of stories. I like these type of spying espionage stories. This is probably one of my favourite genre of comics, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
And
nice.
Epting's art is beautiful. It's so cool.
Yeah, there's nothing. This is a flawless comic, I think. There's like a... What's wrong with it? Nothing. Come on, Lenny, what do you got?
No, I'm going to... Oh, man, I'm going to get shit for this.
For what?
I agree with you guys that the art is awesome.
It's phenomenal.
I guess while reading it, though, I was just hoping it would be more, I guess, stylistic or... Because to me, this plays a... It's very realistic. It's very... it's like you're watching a movie or whatever. Like, that's how the art is. Like, reading it, like, I was kind of hoping someone like maybe, like, David Mack or something were on it. We would get, like, broken panels and just different...
I don't think that would work for something like this, though, man. Like, this is straight-up spy
stuff. Because reading this, though, I got a lot of Daredevil.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's where it came from. Like, I'm reading
it's,
and I'm...
It's pretty dark.
It sort of has, like, a Daredevil feel to me, I guess. And that's kind of what I was thinking, like... Yeah, I don't know.
It feels more like Captain America to me because, it's Steve Epting and Ed Brubaker.
Right, yeah.
Who redefined Captain America for our age. I think right. This is wicked, man. Like, you follow your main character right to the end, and nice, good surprise. I mean, obviously, this chick is more than meets the eye. She's not a Transformer, but she is an ass kicker.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like I said, I wasn't. There's not a knock on the art. I think while I was reading it, it just felt like it was played very safe and very. And that just might be what they're going for. They want a, you know, an original, true, like, espionage of the story, and maybe they don't want flashy art pulling things out of it. But
I don't know. That art's pretty flashy to me, man.
No, yeah, I guess I meant, like, you know, broken panels and different styles all thrown in and.
I look forward to the next issue.
Yeah, I think this one is.
Yeah,
you have to
go.
Oh, go ahead.
Say again. What do you think?
What I was going to say was that, considering it's just the first issue, it's more of setting the stage more than anything, especially for this one, and that really the only times things are happening are at the beginning and at the end. The rest for the middle piece. Oh,
God damn it!
Can you hear me? Hello.
It's a little bit of filler. Sometimes you cut in and out, and then you
cut in and out.
Yeah. Then you come back, and it's good. It snowed over here, so I mean the internet might be fucked up.
Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. It's my favorite book this week.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh wow. Nice.
I would say it's the fucking perfect first issue. You know.
Yeah, it is a really good first issue.
It makes me want to come back for more. Like I said, I got no complaints from the colors to the letters. Like, everything's just tip-top. I mean, these are all people at the top of their game, too.
Yeah, I think. Guys know what they're doing.
So, yeah, I would give Velvet a 7 out of 7. I think Lenny would probably give it a 6.
Yeah, like I said, like I said, I'm not knocking the art, like, because it fits the book and it fits probably the exact look they're going for. Mm-hmm. Like I said, me personally reading it, I wanted a little more, I guess, pizzazz or something out of it, you know? So, but no, yeah, I would definitely, yeah, I'd give it a 6. I'm going to pick up the second issue and see where it goes.
Nice. Kyle?
Yeah, 6. I'll go for 7, and I don't give perfect scores often because I'm really cynical.
No. But, I hear you.
Yeah. It is pretty much everything that I was excited for. You know, it justified it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Brubaker and his Image stuff, just like Fraction, perfect. You know, they just—I don't know—I don't know about perfect, but much better than their Marvel stuff.
No,
I mean, when you can do what you want.
Yeah, and my favorite part is that at the end of the book, and then I turn it over and look at the back of it. And then I remember that Rick Remender and Mateo Scalera have got an Image book coming out next month, and it made me so happy.
Oh, really?
Oh,
what's it called? I read
Black Science.
Black Science. I read mine digitally. I didn't see the back of the cover.
Yeah, it's cool that at the end of these Image books, they pimp all their other books coming out.
Well, yeah.
So it reminds you of all the awesomeness that's out there.
Nice. Okay. Moving right along, Kyle, do you have a book you would like to discuss?
Even though I wrote a review about it, I'm going to talk about it now anyway, and that's Ultimate Comics Spider-Man 28.
Really?
Oh, really, yes. spoiler alert, I love this book. It's one of those things I've said over and over again. It shouldn't be that big a surprise at this point. But with now the situation that it has, this could be the last Ultimate Spider-Man book. Because for the next few months, it's going to be tying into Cataclysm, and everybody already knows a whole rumor. Will this be the end of the Ultimate Universe? Will Miles come to the 616? Yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
But while this issue doesn't, you know, wrap everything in a nice bow, It gives you enough closure to where, if this is the end, great. Basically, what happens is Spider-Woman, obviously Miles, Cloak and Dagger, and Bombshell heading towards Roxxon, English company or whatever, basically evil corporation, to confront the guy who's responsible for giving them their powers. And
for Cloak and Dagger.
He gave him Cloak and Dagger. He's responsible for Bombshell. And he's also responsible for Miles, and I'm pretty sure he's responsible for Jessica Drift. I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah. He knows how Miles got his powers. He basically Miles Morales is the Ultimate Spider-Man. And he basically gives an origin over the course of three panels. Bendis basically gives you the origin of not origin, but basically tells the whole connection that he and Roxanne and Miles have. And this is over the course of three pages of Marquez, and it's nothing. It's just dialogue, but Bendis is paced it well enough, and it's interesting enough. Because you already have, by now you have this emotional investment in the character and the series anyway, to where it doesn't matter. It's just, it works well as a piece.
Nice.
And in the end, this whole story has been Spider-Man No More. After his mum died, he did a year-long gap, and he decided he's not going to be Spider-Man anymore. Oh. But in the end, the way Marquez draws him, he's admitting that he is Spider-Man, he will do what's right, is that he makes him look like a grown man, that he's finally taking on the responsibility of Spider-Man and doing the right thing, which I thought was a great touch to the end. Yeah?
Yeah, I haven't read... I hope that worked. I haven't read any Ultimate Spider-Man since like issue 6 of Miles Run, I think.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Sounds like I've been missing out, to be honest with you. I like me a little Cloak and Dagger. I like Roxxon. They're bad motherfuckers. Jessica Drew, is that the Peter Parker female clone?
Yeah, she clones Peter Parker.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, what? Oh, see, now I'm missing shit. Totally.
She's been a clone of Peter Parker before, while Peter was alive.
Okay, well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't remember. Oh, okay. Like, remember when he got cloned and there was a bunch of them? There was a bunch of Peter Parker clones and one of them was a female version?
Hmm.
Do you remember that?
No.
That's who I'm asking. Is she named Jessica Drew now, or is this an actual...
It's Jessica. Oh, okay. Her name is Jessica Drew. Peter Parker with the long hair.
It's female Peter.
Yeah.
Peterina. Nice.
I have a question.
Ask.
You think if they put Miles into the 616 universe, you think they would just keep him as a Spider-Man side character, or would they give him like his own city and book?
I think that he would be perfect for the Secret Warriors, the New Warriors.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know will they give him his own book? Maybe. I don't see why not. The book sells pretty good, obviously.
It's the only Ultimate book that sells. It sells more than the other Ultimate books. That's what I know for sure. I don't know how many times I've said this. I'm going to say it again. I don't want him in the 616. We don't need any more there are too many Spider-Men now.
We need a bajillion more Spider-Mans. Why not, right?
There's only two right now.
There's two. No, I'm counting as well. I'm counting Spider-Man-related characters. So I'm talking... Venom's gone. Venom series is gone. Scarlet Spider's recently gone. Well, not completely gone yet.
But the character's still there,
Yeah, they're still there. We've got 29-9 stuck in the present now. Spoilers.
Yep.
And then add Miles to it as well. It's like, nah, forget that rubbish, man. But if they go... I only trust... At this point, I only trust Bendis writing Miles anyway. So if Bendis isn't writing that, I don't really want to know.
Okay. What would you rate that book, man?
I'll give it another 7.
Holy shit balls, you're generous today.
Yeah. I'm in a good mood.
All right. Everybody, welcome Anthony.
Sorry. Hello.
The time change fucked us all up. Sorry, man. What time have you got?
It's like it's like 4:45.
Yeah, my bad. I guess that's why I asked yesterday about the time change. My Joe was a little drunk, and I was like, I'm not getting up till 10 anyways. Anyhow, kind of wanted to get started now because my family's gone. We have friends over. While it's quiet, it's a better time to record. I'll tell you what you missed. We talked about Batman Arkham Origins, the game.
Oh, I'm a bit bitter about that because I pre-ordered it from Amazon and it got dispatched on Thursday and it was supposed to be first class delivery.
And you haven't got it yet.
And I still haven't got it. So,
what'd you order it for?
£30.
Yeah, cool. That's how much I got it for. I wasn't going to pre-order it, but then I saw it was for £30, and okay, it's cheaper. I'm going to have to do it.
It was 37 when I pre-ordered it, but they knocked it down to 30.
Because they knew it was going to be late. Well, that's a burn, man. Kyle's already beaten the story.
Yeah, I believe so. I think I saw somebody put on Facebook about it. Something.
Yeah.
Is it not? What's it like, Kyle? Is it any good?
It's the worst of the three. Worst of the previous one, but it's still even the worst of two great games. It's still a good game. I still say check it out.
Yeah.
I won't call it a must play like Arkham City.
Okay, and we also talked about the PlayStation version is laggy and glitchy, and the Xbox version is smooth, I guess. Because meet Lenny, Anthony. There's Lenny.
Hello, Lenny.
Lenny's playing it on Xbox.
Yep.
So right. Yeah, something for you to look forward to. Don't get stuck on the bridge that Kyle got stuck on.
Yeah. I mean,
and then we talked about Velvet. Yeah, we talked about Velvet, which you probably might have something to say.
Oh, shit. I was going to bring that up, actually.
Well, you go right ahead. Tell us what you think about it, because we just basically talked about it.
I thought it was good, but it's...
But?
For what it is, because it's Brubaker doing spy stuff, it's like... It's very much like his Winter Soldier stuff, what he did with Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the Steve Epting on art.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends if you like Brubaker's spy stuff. Some people... don't like his like genre writing that much, but I enjoy it.
I gave it a perfect score.
Really? Oh, cool.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with it, and so did Kyle. What does that tell you? Lenny didn't like the panel layouts.
I actually I read it last weekend before it came out in comic shops, because the festival I went to had some advanced copies with a variant by Sean Phillips. So nice. I read it last week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd rather enjoyed it. And then Kyle talked about Ultimate Spider-Man, which he gave another perfect score to. So, and I figured, I guess it's my turn. Seeing as how we're talking about Spider-Man, let's talk about Superior Spider-Man Team-Up. what issue was this? Issue 5. So, in this issue... we find out where Spidey 2099 went, and he's hanging out over here, apparently. And they're fighting the Wrecking Crew, and then Spider-Man shows up, Doc Ock Spider-Man, but he shows up with his Sinister Six, basically, all in mind control tow, which I thought was kind of cool. I mean, we've been seeing him gather these guys for, what, pretty much the entire run of Superior Spider-Man, and now finally we're seeing why. Like, I always figured that they were going to team up again, but he's taken it an extra step further, and he's mind-controlling all of them, making them do what his bidding, I guess. And they don't like it. They don't like it one bit. And I thought this is going to be a good little storyline. It's a good start. I know a lot of people don't read the team-up. I've been finding it better than the Superior Spider-Man run. You can scoff all you want. I mean, even the Avenging Spider-Man I found was better. Anyways, I guess you guys didn't read that.
No.
No.
What?
Go ahead. The Superior Six, yeah. I don't know. I thought Anthony might have an opinion, at least, because Spider-Man's his favorite character.
Yeah, I'm behind on Superior Spider-Man, though.
Oh,
I haven't read the last two issues.
Sorry, man. I'm just doing a little spoiler.
It's all right. It's fine. I'm not bothered.
This one's a jump, anyways.
I don't buy any of the family books either. I only buy Superior Spider-Man because I can't afford to buy every Spider-Man issue because there's like six or something.
I feel your pain.
Well, it's a little weird that they reveal that in a secondary book, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say it's the second book.
They didn't reveal it then.
Like you said, like he's been gathering all these guys, but they don't reveal that he's like mind controlling them in the normal book proper. Like, to me, that's a little odd.
Well, this is the first time he's let them out of their cages since he's captured them all too, right?
Well, right, but why wouldn't they show that in Superior Spider-Man then?
Because there's way too much shit going on over there.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that actually.
But like, I don't know. I guess to me, it just seems weird. Like, if you have so many storylines that you can't keep in your own book. Maybe that's a problem. I don't know.
Well, to be fair,
I mean, you know what I mean. Like, go ahead.
To be fair, though, this is it's not like Slott introduced it in his one, and then it decided just to pop up in Chris Yost's. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. the two different stories, but obviously they're probably happening concurrently.
Yes. Okay. I'd rather, okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be good. We'll see what happens. Superior Spider-Man seems to be falling apart, not so superior now, even in his own book. Not to spoil anything for you, Anthony. But...
is it the beginning of the end? Yeah. Or...
I think it might be, man. I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, I don't want to say too much.
Well, Dan Slott's shoot due to start a Silver Surfer title, isn't he? Mm. And I remember him on East Farm Spring, he was explaining that he can't write more than two scripts a month mm-hmm. or something, which is why he doesn't do any creator own work. Mm-hmm. So if he's writing Silver Surfer, either... like, maybe he's going to get a co-writer on Spider-Man, or it's going to drop to once monthly. Is he getting a co-writer?
I'm pretty sure it's Christos Gage.
Good.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me, because he's
Same with Hickman. Hickman's got so much on the go now, he's getting Nick Spencer to help him with Avengers, I believe.
I thought that was just Avengers World.
Oh, shit, I don't know. I was assuming it was going to be scripting duties on, like, new Avengers and Avengers.
I know they're at least working together on Avengers World, because, you know, we need loads more Avengers books.
Mm-hmm. Not really. Anyways, okay, so back to the Spider-Man Marvel team-up, whatever it's called, issue 5. I will give it a 5, because, I don't know, it was good. There's 5 bad guys who are under mind control. Yeah, that's my justification right there.
Nice.
Yeah, I suggest it to anybody who likes themselves a lot of Spider-Man with a lot of things going on. Okay.
Come on. That's nice to
Anthony.
Know.
My go.
Your go.
Oh, okay. Sex Criminals number 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't read the second one yet. Good. Shit.
It's so good. It's really funny. There's like it starts with a recap page, and it's just like a giant piece of text.
Oh, really?
And there's a lot of text there, but if you actually read it, it's quite funny how he recaps the previous issue, because he does it page by page. Like, he explains what happens on each page of the first issue, and then it's a comic where people stop time when they have orgasms, and there's a lot going on in the comic. It gets into the main character. I'm not sure what the main character's name is, but it goes into his past a bit more, issue 2, with like how he discovered his power, and it's pretty good. I'm warming to the art a bit more as well, because after I wasn't overly fussed on Chip Zdarsky's art after issue 1, but I think in issue 2 I'm beginning to warm to it more now. And it's a really fun. It's the kind of creator own comic I'd expect from the guy who writes Hawkeye for Marvel.
Hmm.
And it's a lot better than Satellite Sam.
What you mentioned? I think first issue.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I think it's because it seems to have more humor in it.
Yeah, it seems to be very light, light type subject matter, I guess.
Well, the first issue was kind of heavy.
You think so?
Because
it came from the girl's point of view, or what?
Well, no, but, like, wasn't she, like, she was, like, a victim of abuse or something like that? Like, I don't know. When he was promoting this book, he was basically saying it's, like, 40-year-old virgin or knocked up, in a way. But the first issue doesn't give you that at all. So, I don't know. The first issue kind of threw me off, because, like I said, there were more serious things in it, and I guess I didn't expect that when it was promoted a certain way. Mm. But that, like I said, that's me.
I kind of get what you're saying there. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. I didn't realize I missed that book. Now I have to go read it, because I too enjoyed the first one. This second issue is from the guy's point of view, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And
yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the first one was the girl, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that makes me wonder.
Yeah,
it's
mostly about the guy. This one, this issue.
Well, that's very cool, man. Props to Matt Fraction for writing a good book. Finally, I mean, besides Hawkeye, I don't read Hawkeye. That doesn't count.
Have you, Eric? Did you ever get around to reading Casanova?
No.
Oh,
I haven't.
Because I really enjoy that as well, but it's not for everyone, because it's quite dense. It's like
I like a good dense book once in a while.
Yeah,
so you gotta actually read.
Yeah, but it's quite crazy as well. Like weird, like the storytelling to it's like weird, and it doesn't always make sense, but it's fun. Yeah. I like custom art.
I'm gonna have to check that out, man. Okay, what would you rate number two, issue two?
Six out of seven.
See, good series by Mad Fraction.
Yeah.
Drum roll. Blah, 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 psh. Okay, I guess that takes us back to Mr. Kyle. All right, Lenny, let's work.
All right, let's jump into the other book that made lots of headlines this week, huh?
Pretty Deadly?
Pretty Deadly, my friend.
Sweet.
This is an awesome book.
Is it?
Oh, I read that as well, yeah.
Yeah?
I think it's great. But I also, like, I knew what it was going into it. You know, I'd been really looking forward to it and anticipating it, so it didn't throw me off when I got hit with, like, poetry and different type of mythologies and, you know, sort of what people are calling unfinished art, but I think it's beautiful.
Mm, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly. It's gorgeous. So like I said, I really, really dig it. I want a lot more very soon.
Mm-hmm. I bet it's coming, too.
Yeah, I mean, they've released covered images for 2 and 3, so, I mean, they at least have that going. I'm sure they were probably waiting to see what sales did, but I read they sold out of their 57,000 run.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Going back for the second printing already?
Yeah, so it's going to be around for a while. And like I said, I really enjoy it. I think it's original. You know, much like Sex Criminals, it's something that isn't already there in the comics world.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a place for it if you enjoy it. If not, then you don't. You know, same as anything else.
Nice.
I'd give this a 7 out of 7, man. This is,
really?
This is a cool book. Yeah, this is a cool book.
It was described to me as a lyrical Western, and I was like, ooh, that's interesting. I want to check it out now. I'm going to have to wait for mine, though. Mm. It's a coming. So yeah. That's good, man. No, that's good to hear, like, some people's opinions. That's just weird how that all blew up on the internet, I think, you know.
Yeah.
Well, the guy who pointed out the comic shop in the first place, I have not respected his reviews in years.
I don't even read that column anymore. I think it's shit.
It is shit, man. Like, yeah. You know what you discovered when you read this article that talked about Pretty Deadlies? He's not the guy reviewing the book. He's giving somebody else's fucking opinion.
Yeah.
So how the fuck? Like,
in that whole paragraph, he just, like, he tells that other guy's opinion and story at the end. And goes, well, I can't disagree. And it's just like, well, let me know what you really think. Don't tell me what some other guy thinks.
Yeah, exactly. If I wanted to know what he thought, I'd read his column. Or go to his shop and watch him rip comics up.
Right, yeah.
And then Image turned around and they tried to stop sending them or getting the books returned or something.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear anything about that? Weird, man.
I think that's cool. That's kind of cool that when a publisher will have their creators' backs, right? Like, when a publisher says, you know what? If you don't want them, we'll take them back. Somebody's going to want them, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like no other company would say, well, get our books out of your stores. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They would just say, well, you don't like it, you don't like it. But Image, you know, Image is kind of, I don't know, they stepped up and they kind of have their backs on this one, saying, like, all right, you don't rip up our books because people want to read them.
Well, exactly. I mean, the first print sold out, so obviously that guy's opinion doesn't count for shit.
Right.
Yeah. He's like, he's ripping it up, and then you're going to get some guy who's going to be paying, like, more than cover price on eBay because he's not going to be able to find a copy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And I think in this instance, it helped sell the book because I had no plans to buy it at all until I started reading about this. I was like, you know, I want to read this book.
Well, right. I mean, it's what they say about publicity, right? Like, there's never that publicity, but like I said, on it, I enjoy the book. Like, there's gonna be people who don't, and that's fine. You know, not everybody likes X-Men. Like,
you didn't read it, or did you read it?
I read it.
You didn't like it.
I like Kelly Sue DeConnick and all, but I was this is what I don't like. I was excited for it, so that could have been why I was kind of underwhelmed by it. It's not, again, it's one of those things where it's not saying it's bad, but it's not what I hoped, the level that I hoped.
Your expectations were really high going in, is what you're saying.
This happens when you're
understood.
Boy.
Hey, that's cool, man. I think that's awesome, too, because it's an all-female creator cast, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Kelly Sue DeConnick and who's on art? I'm sorry.
Emma Rios.
You guys remember?
Emma Rios.
There you go.
And then Jordi Belair does the colors.
Right.
And then Clayton Cowles is the letterer.
Oh, okay.
But
he's a dude.
Yeah. What's he doing in this book?
Yeah, don't. Your testosterone all over my Pretty Deadly.
Wait. Yeah. That's great. Yeah, like that. I think issues 2 and 3 are going to be less, what am I going to say, like poetic or, you know, just sort of different in that way, because even at the end of number one, it sort of leans more toward basic storytelling and comic book writing. Like I said, I think she used that as an opening just to sort of pull you in and you know, just give you something different. I think as it goes on, it will probably see less of it, but I mean, hopefully not. Hopefully she keeps the poetry and the storytelling and stuff going, because I enjoy it.
Oh, cool. What would you rate that book?
I'm giving it a 7. Like I said, it's okay. My favorite book this week.
Kyle?
I'll give it a 4.
Okay. We know about your expectations. Anthony? Yeah.
I'd give it a 6.
Okay.
Because I found it a bit hard to follow in some places. No, I don't mean that as a bad thing, but no. I just... Yeah.
I know what you're saying. That's cool. Yeah. Right on. A little bit of variation. I mean, it wasn't great for everybody, and it was great for some, and I mean, that's what makes a good first issue. Yeah. Controversy.
Yeah. All right.
Does that make it Kyle's turn then?
Yeah.
Or is it my turn?
No, that's my turn.
No, it's Kyle's turn. Yeah. All right. Trying to scab your turn.
Let's see. I think I'll just quickly go on for a Justice League 24.
Okay.
So, obviously, everyone knows it's the Forever Evil rubbish. But,
I say that.
Whatever. This issue is for, basically, gives you Ultraman's origin.
Oh.
In the first few pages, which, it's, again, obviously, it's one of those where it's the same as the other universes, but it's a little different. Where in this one, his parents basically think he's a load of crap, but they're sending him off to a new. They're deliberately sending him to Earth to take over. And if you saw, what was it? Just Forever Evil number one, I think, where he's immune. Kryptonite makes him stronger.
Oh, I thought he was getting stoned off of it.
Oh yeah, he snorted it.
Yeah.
Well, like, that's going to happen in a DC comic, Eric. Come on.
Okay.
In fucking Justice League.
It might.
In this one, he's eating the kryptonite as a baby. So, and
really?
And when he gets to Earth, what's the Kents called? Mary?
Well, the parents?
Jonathan and some Martha Kent.
Martha?
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. They are completely different to the regular one that everyone knows, where these are basically rednecks. And and Jonathan is got Martha up against the wall and he's holding a knife against her. So, clearly they're not the same type of people. But when Ultraman crash lands, he's not no sweet little boy, he's not no sweet little baby. Kai stands up and blasts Jonathan Kent's hand off.
Nice.
And then goes, "You two, my parents now." And they just have to deal with it, otherwise he'll kill them. But again, this is the whole. This is now more.
You're breaking up against us.
No, stop. This is more what I wanted from Forever Evil, I suppose.
Yeah.
He's going to the Daily Planet, and he's confronting the people that he. Obviously, the Paolo Earth equivalent to the people he already knows. So we've got normal, regular Lois Lane, which I didn't realise was Superwoman is Lois Lane. But I'm stupid, so there you go.
You mean on his Earth universe or whatever?
Yeah, this Superwoman that he's brought with him.
Oh, is
Lois. So.
Oh shit.
What? So if they, I don't know if. They have a Wonder Woman. I assume that this was Wonder Woman of their Earth.
That's what I thought. Not. That's so interesting.
Yeah, that is that. I think because I hate Lois gets beat up. I think this is a really good issue. This is more of the things that I kind of want with Forever Evil. And it's given me a reason otherwise to think that they're bad people. Other than they just say, "Oh, these are the bad guys. Just deal with it now." Because this is again what Forever Evil number 2 showed as well with the Flash and the Atom. I'm going to keep calling Flash because I can't remember. With the Flash and the
Johnny Quick.
yeah, start raising hell, and then you're supposed to go, oh, they're evil because they say that. It's like that episode of Justice League where Flash is in Lucy's body and goes, because I'm evil, and just for the sake of it.
Aren't you going to wash your hands? No. Why? Because I'm evil. Yeah, I know what you're saying. That was a good episode. Right on. What would you rate that book? I'm kind of intrigued. I want to read it now, but fuck DC Comics.
I'd give it a 5. Strong 5.
Okay.
Nice.
Why are you angry with DC this week, Eric? What have you done to piss you off?
Nothing, really. It's been a while. I haven't said fuck off DC. Figured I'd let it out there. I'm not buying anything from them except for All-Star Western. Really. Oh, and the Last Flash. I bought the Last Flash. Which, you know, was weak as fuck. Anyways.
I've not read it yet. I've heard it's not a very... It's because it's Francis Manapul's last one, isn't it? Last issue.
I think they
And I've heard it's not a very good... A very good...
No.
Tie up to his it's whole not. Story.
It's not. I was like, what Which the hell?
It's kind of shit because his run's been really good on the Flash. You would have thought they'd give him a bit of a like bigger send off or something, but he is doing Batman, so he'll get over it.
Right. Is that what he's moving on to? Is Batman?
I think he's doing Detective Comics.
Oh well, good for you.
In January.
Interesting. All right. Okay. So back to me.
Yep. Shit,
I didn't have a book ready. Second. Oh, yeah, Hulk. Indestructible Hulk, issue 14. Age at a Time. This is pretty good, man. He's kind of fighting this Kronarchist, I guess it's called. Banner has uploaded his brain into a little robot so he can guide Hulk through the time stream because Banner's body wouldn't survive, just Hulk's body will, right? And this Kronarchist is fucking bouncing around through Hulk's timeline and he's fucking with his origin and shit, man. Sometimes he changed, like there's this one page where he changes to Grey Hulk for a bit, or Joe Fix-It Hulk, and then he becomes Planet Hulk, King Hulk, I don't know what to describe him as. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy from World War Hulk, that version of the Hulk. Beats the fuck out of a Fing Fang Foom. Meanwhile, you're getting commentary from the little Banner robot. And then we end up back at where it all began. We're in the New Mexico desert, and they're getting ready to set off the bomb. This is before Banner fucking changes and all that shit. He's fighting with Igor, blah, blah, blah. And then they find Rick Jones out there. And this Kronarchist is fucking with the bomb while he's out there. So then, you know, the usual happens. Banner goes to save Rick Jones, to push him into the pit, and guess who shows up right behind Banner? Why, it's our time-displaced Hulk, of course, and he pushes them both into the pit, and he takes a second giant blast of gamma radiation.
Awesome.
So what happens to a Hulk that takes two massive blasts of gamma radiation like that? He pretty much becomes the Green Doomsday from the looks of this last page. I was like, okay, he got bigger, and he's a little, kind of looks like bone spikes hanging out of him now. Definitely to be continued. I don't know if Mark Waid is trying to tweak the origin or what, but it's intriguing. As one of my favorite characters of the Marvel Universe, the Hulk, I fucking love this. It's right up there with Daredevil for me, because Mark Waid can do no wrong in my eyes. I forgot this part. The Banner bot, the one that went through time with him, fucking goes to the Banner in the 60s or whatever, that's who built the bomb in the first place, and uploads his memories to him. And like, I mean, wouldn't that fuck with the timeline totally too?
Yeah.
So now he's got all the memories that of the next 40 years of his life that haven't even happened to him yet.
Right. Wouldn't he just say, screw messing with bombs, I'm gonna go and create Google or something? Like,
yeah, that would be the smart thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, definitely to be continued. Looks good. Nice little run of time travel for Hulk. I know a lot of people are getting sick of the time travel aspect, but I love it. I think it's cool.
Well, I was just going to ask, is that part of the whole Infinity
time
travel? No, it's just on its own happening?
It's still got the Age of Ultron aftermath on it. Because, you know, I think it's because he's trying to fix the timeline. S.H.I.E.L.D. sent him in there to do that. And the only one who could survive is the Hulk, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I think after this, then it ties into Infinity. There's something about Banner needs to save the day. I'm not sure. I'm just thinking about previews I've read.
We're going to get another Hulk versus Avengers?
That'd be sweet. Maybe it's a tie into Inhumanity instead of Infinity.
It is Inhumanity.
It's Inhumanity? Okay, my
bad. Yeah.
I get my facts mixed up. Sometimes I get a little excited talking about Hulk.
I
would give that book. What? Did you? Anybody else read it?
I read it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't like it or you liked it?
I liked it. I was just disappointed that they changed, there was a different artist on.
I don't even notice anymore.
Scalera did the other part. What is this? Part 4. Did the part 1, 2, and 3. At least I'm sure he did. And then you've got two artists on here. I think it is Jacinto's art, and that's for the second half.
Oh, you're right. There's two different artists.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think I like that a lot more than the first half. So yeah.
Everybody needs a break once in a while.
Especially I especially enjoyed the big two gamma radiated Hulk at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a nice ending. Make me want to come back for more. I personally give the book a 6. I'm biased though. What would you give it?
A 5.
A 5? Okay. I can live with that. It's not a 4. Alright. Good stuff. Me like Hulk. Anthony, back to you, man.
Was it me again?
It is.
Okay. I've talked about this comic that much that I try to avoid like talking about it whenever there's a new issue. But Young Avengers number 11, which
I heard good things.
So it was another really good issue because they grew up Kid Loki. He's now Teen Loki, I think. Well, he looks like a teenager.
Hmm.
But it'll be like probably early 20s because that's what the rest of the Young Avengers are. But, what actually happened in it though? It's hard for me to give a synopsis on Young Avengers because sometimes they just stand around and talk. Lots of talking.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It is good.
Right on.
Yeah, dude. They're still running from Mother, who has been the villain for like the whole series, really, since the first issue.
Mm-hmm. You like that?
To say. I really don't know what to say about it.
Lenny's got a question.
Is there a reason that they aged him? Like, is that just part of what Kid Loki does, or is it just because he was a kid and they need him to be older?
Do you know, I think it's something to do with defeating the villain, maybe. Because he stole Wiccan's powers. Well, he borrowed Wiccan's powers for a little bit.
He stole them.
And now he's got them back. But see, it's the thing, like, because none of the Young Avengers trust Loki, and they think he's up to something, and he probably is, but it's only going to be, like, revealed in, like, the final issue to see what his plan was. But to be perfectly honest with you, the reason they probably aged Kid Loki to older is because For the Dark World is out in a couple of weeks, and in that, Loki is, like, Tom Hiddleston, so they probably want him looking more like Tom Hiddleston.
Right, he's got his own series coming as well. But what? I think it was all part of his plan. He just wanted to be older anyway. I think that's partially why he tried to take Wiccan's power. It's partially why, because he wanted his older body anyway. Because it's not, like you said, it's not powerful enough. Or whether that was a lie, which possibility.
There's also a page where he's like exploding, and it's got all of like the different incarnations of Loki from like the previous artist interpretations, and like when he was a female for a little while, kind of like coming out of him in panels, like mini panels on the page, which is quite cool. And there's the Walt Simonson Loki on there as well. I've just noticed.
Nice.
So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, did you guys all read this book? Am I the only one who doesn't read Young Avengers?
I didn't. That's why I didn't know what was going on.
Oh, okay. Well, right on.
Yeah.
I just thought it was weird that Loki's the only Marvel character that gets to grow up.
Yeah, but, well, like Anthony said, he was a girl at one time.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's kind of ever-changing. I really like when he was female.
I kind of read something about that, about his new series or whatever, that he's going to be gender-swapping himself because he used to do it all the time before. I don't know.
It's part of the trickery thing he does.
Would make sense, you know? Like,
yeah.
if you're gonna be the king of mischief and lives, you gotta have some fucking
gotta be some able
tricks.
To
tricks. And that's a neat trick, fella. Anyways, okay, what did you rate that?
The only annoying thing is, though, I made the mistake of going on Tumblr before I'd actually read the issue.
Oh, it's
so it got spoiled for me. Yeah, I saw the page
sick
where
of that. This is a recurring thing.
To be honest, I should know better, really. Yeah. Like, I shouldn't just stay off Tumblr until I'm up to date on comics. But I get bored, and I go on Tumblr and I add stuff to my queue. And like, oh look, there's fucking the whole of the Young Avengers issue, pretty much, because people. But that's the thing. It's kind of like, I mean, it's got quite a big, a large following on Tumblr. Like, there's. Like a lot of the fan base go on there, like blogging and stuff. Like, and it can, I mean, it's good because it gets exposure for the comic, but at the same time, if you're behind, like I was, because I got my comics yesterday instead of Wednesday, so yeah. But I'd rate the issue, I think I'd give it a 6.
Nice. I might read that book one day, we'll see what happens.
You better read it.
I mean, it's gonna.
You read Journey into Mystery. Like, I told the parents to read the proper one with Lady Sif, not Kid Loki. Right.
Well, if he's going to read Young Avengers, it makes more sense to read the Kid Loki one because it kind of follows on from that. So
I didn't read Lady Sif.
Sif.
If it ever shows up on Marvel Unlimited, I'll read it there. Well, hey, that's a good $10 a month. I got all these comics I can read that I never bother with.
Yeah, I should probably subscribe to that with the amount I fucking spend on Comixology every
week. The thing
that
they do, though, man, is they'll give you part 1, part 3, part 4, and then skip part 5.
What the fuck?
Yeah, they do that. Like, I was trying to read The Venom, and it was like in four issue spurts, and then there would be an issue missing, and then another 4 issues, and then an issue missing. I was like, what?
Is that so you actually have to buy it from them, or?
I think it might be a sales type of thing, you know? Like, if you want to read it, buy it. Like, all those books that you can read on there for free under your subscription are also available for you to buy.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's what they do. They give you 4 issues and say, hey, you want to finish it? Give us your 4 books. Yeah.
Pretty much, basically. Whether or not. Where are we at? Are we almost done? That was an hour ish. Anybody got anything else they want to mention?
No. I only read those 2 books this week, Velvet and Pretty Deadly.
I met Ed Brubaker last week and that was pretty great. I had a bit of an awkward moment with him. Do you guys want to hear about my awkward moment with Ed Brubaker?
Bring it on.
Tell us how you creeped him out.
Well, and that's the thing, I may have, because he was signing about like 15 of my comics, and I asked him if I could have a picture, because he was with Sean Phillips, and I wanted a picture with both Ed and Sean Phillips. So I went and stood behind the table, but then Ed Brubaker just carried on signing my comics rather than just look up and to like for the photo. So I'm stood behind him, waiting for him to stop signing my comics just while the picture gets taken. And it was kind of like weird because I was just like behind him lurking, but that's it. It wasn't anything too bad.
You were creeping, were you? No, that's cool, man. You got to meet Ed Brubaker. Cool. I never get to meet these cool guys.
And next up, I'm meeting Matt Fraction, which is going to be equally as amazing. Because I love Matt Fraction.
Don't let it get too awkward, man.
I was gonna go there.
He's signing in Manchester on the 21st of November.
Wait, where?
He's Traveling Man Comics. He's signing.
Yes.
Him, Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Yes. Nice one.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Matt Fraction, Kelly Sue DeConnick, Fiona Staple, Ramon Perez,
really?
And Richard Stockins. Yeah, they're signing 21st of November. Traveling Man Comics in Manchester. I think he is anyway. I'm pretty sure he better be because I'm going, so that's I don't awesome. Want to get there and turn up and be like, where the hell's Matt Fraction?
No, what will happen is that it's going to be arse. He'll have stopped by the time I get there from work. It's no way.
See, now, holy excitement, man.
Woo!
That was awesome.
Just made me happy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'm not going to Thought Bubble, though, no. I was going to go.
You're not.
No, I was going to what? Go, but, you know, I've got this thing where...
Thought Bubble, it's a convention. You got the thing where what?
I've got this thing where I hate Leeds. Where,
Is that seriously the reason you won't go?
This is not the only reason. It is one of the contributing factors.
Well, there's just reasons.
And plus I'm poor, because the Xbox, not Xbox, and PS4 comes out in like 2 weeks after, and I don't have a lot of money.
Oh.
I wouldn't buy the first system when it comes out, man.
No, I'm not. I'm probably, I barely play on my PlayStation 3, so.
Remember what happened with the Xbox 360?
Yeah, but the Xbox 360 is a piece of crap. You forget that.
The same shit was happening with PlayStations. You just never heard about it as
much. Yeah, new machines always have bugs that they need to work out, but...
I'm going to wait for the second bottle on everything.
Yeah, I'm going to wait a year or two. Unless, they ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, save some money. Because I'm a cheap prick and I have a family.
Yep, same here.
Word up. Word up.
I'm young.
Yes, you're also young. I guess that's it. We're good. I'm sorry I started without you, Anthony.
It's all right. It's fine.
I knew that time shift was going to fuck us up.
My name is Ryan Stegman, artist of Superior Spider-Man, and you are listening to the Comic Anvil. And Prophet Len, at Prophet Len on Twitter, is a piece of shit.